An icon is a person or a thing, oftentimes it's a picture, which is a representative symbol of something. We look at an icon and through that it tells us a larger story. And I'd like to give just three very quick images, three photographs, which are iconic. They come from our national experience. They aren't necessarily Mennonite. This one from World War II of Iwo Jima, the raising of the flag. This next one, interestingly, is a Sports Illustrated cover which had no words because it was so iconic. And if you are too young to know what this is about, this was from 1980, the Winter Olympics, the miracle on ice, and then, of course, more recently, this. Iconic images. Well, today, I'm going to suggest that you have in your hand, or you have it perhaps beside you, you have an important icon of what God has in mind. And that icon that you have, perhaps to your surprise, it's this. It is the bulletin, and more specifically, inside of the bulletin, it is the order of worship. Shall we pray? Lord God, whether it has been through song or word or an icon or a relationship, we pray that we might know your heart, we might know it more fully, and that it might in turn shape our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The most common word picture for church is that of body. But there's another one which was found in the morning text when Peter says, like living stones, you are being built into a spiritual house, which is an interesting idea. What is this? What do we mean when we say a spiritual house? And I'd suggest we take just a moment to leave the word spiritual out of it and just remember what goes into the houses in which we live. In a house, everything has to be tied together properly, and it has to be well built. Just one piece of improperly installed roof flashing can lead to tens of thousands of dollars of water damage. And just this past week, we talked to neighbors who thought that they had a $1,000 problem, and the bid for full repair is $50,000. What good, we could ask, would a gorgeous looking kitchen be if it didn't have properly installed plumbing and wiring? When we ourselves redid our kitchen, we came within a quarter of an inch of not being able to open the dishwasher door because it was going to hit the oven door. Everything counts. Every little detail in a house needs to be tied together properly, and it needs to be well built. Well, I looked on the internet looking for what might be an image, what might be a kind of icon of connectedness or interconnectedness, which we could say when we look at this, we see the church. And I offer you two starter images. They're not really that great. I call them starter images, but here they are. That would be one that would be for adults. This one would be conversations with children. But what I had suggested instead was our bulletin as an iconic image. And I freely admit that visually, at least, that's regressing. What is there about this? It isn't attractive. It isn't intriguing. It's just the same old, same old. Visually, it seems ordinary. But I want to nevertheless suggest that this is a profound and it is an encouraging icon of us at Mennonite Church of Normal. Us here as a spiritual house. Just as a house has various key materials and components, it has a foundation, it has rafters, it has walls, it has wiring, it has plumbing, it has cabinets and so forth. So also a solid spiritual house has a variety of key and very different components that are interconnected. And here they are. Here they are right here in this order of worship. And I want to list them and to talk about them very briefly. Here's the list. You start with a foundation. That's what we have up on our screen. And the reminder of that foundation, Jesus that we build upon, when we look at our bulletin, we look and we see communion. And it is in communion, in that service of communion, that we focus on what Jesus did for us. It's so foundational that we're told in one of the scripture texts that whenever you eat bread and whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of Jesus. It is that on which we build our lives. Jesus was the living stone, and we, like living stones, build on that. That is the foundation. And we see that there in our order of worship. There is community. This spiritual house of Jesus has to have community. To be a properly built house, that has to be a component, because from the beginning, we learned last spring as we looked at the true story of the whole world, that God's dream has always been to have a people and to implement God's dreams through a people. It's always plural. We are a people. And so a component of a spiritual house is going to be community. Now, look at the rich evidences in this bulletin. We've included the children. We've had sharing time, and we've prayed for each other. Our congregational singing, sometimes it's solos, but generally it is harmony. It's not unison, but it's a different kind of unity, which is the core of community, and that is the blending of different voices and different parts. It doesn't specifically show up in the order of worship, but there is the fellowship time before. It's so hard to get people to come in because fellowship matters to us. And afterwards, there is a time of fellowship. Our spiritual houses are not apartment houses, segregated, one person here, close the door and lock it, one person here, close the door and lock it, with walls between us. But rather than being just a house where we are in together, it's more like a home where we have a multitude of relationships. We are, in fact, a family, brothers and sisters. That is what it is to be a spiritual house, and the evidences of it, the icons of that, are evident as we look in our order of worship. Now, the same idea is the third one you see up there. It's the same idea, maybe it's a little bit different. It is how we embody being the body of Christ. How do we embody that? Going to the other image, you are one body, you're made up of different parts, and so I look in the order of service, and there it is. We offer our gifts and we affirm the gifts of others. We give money and we give time and we give talents. It was so interesting to me, just before the services, I was talking to Laura, that was introduced earlier on behalf of MCC, who works with donor relations. And what she said was powerful in two ways. She said, I don't really think of people who give money to MCC as donors. I think of them as senders. I think of them as senders, and I thought in two ways. First of all, this house we're a part of isn't just us, of course. It's much larger. It's the Church of Jesus Christ in the world. But this idea that we're sending, we are contributing, we're giving for all of the efforts that are going to be made by people on behalf of God's people, it is so apt, additionally, that on this Sunday, we tie together a mutual aid offering, and we tie it together with communion. I'd summarize it like this. If you build on Jesus Christ, and if you are the body of Christ, you will love each other. That will be a living dynamic that's going to take place if you are a spiritual house. And finally, there's worship. A spiritual house will always have praise and adoration of God as one of its central components. Look in your bulletin, praise, petition, hearing God's word, building up through proclamation and preaching. What I'm saying is that these elements here, are nothing less than a representative glimpse into the full measure of the kingdom of God. Another sermon illustration. Bear with me. Let's say that again. Nothing less than a representative glimpse into the full measure of the kingdom of God. So a contractor, when they begin a project, a house project, they have a materials list. And what I am suggesting is that this is at least a partial materials list for a spiritual house. We are being built into a spiritual house. It will have a foundation. It will have the protection of God. It will have the body. It will have community. It will have praise. And I am sure you can take this list to be further than that. Now, if you want to intensify the dynamic of interrelatedness, I think we can do this by asking some negative what-if questions. A negative what-if question would be, what if you had a gorgeous kitchen with no plumbing? And the obvious conclusion is, you have to have plumbing. You have to have interrelatedness. What does the Bible say about faith without works? What would service be if we hadn't invested time in community? I'm trying to imagine a Mennonite disaster service trip with each worker isolated from the others, never speaking, never knowing, never enjoying, just each one doing their own thing. There's something that wouldn't be alive about that. What if we left Jesus out of Christianity and tried to have a house without a foundation? Well, we're told that would be a house built on sand. And then I wondered, where would a church be without offering a gifts? Imagine to yourself, if everyone stayed home, no praise, no community, everyone individually located, saying, my relationship with God is my thing, and then simply sending their money to a central site so that professionals would be hired to do the ministry. That's not the spiritual house of God. How cold and sterile that would be. Now, earlier I showed an image. It was a simplistic image of a network. I said it's a starter image of interlocking connections. I said, well, that's just a starter. What Holly came up with was so interesting, it fits in perfectly. This is before the service ever started. And this is what Jaron was doodling. It was a picture like that, fully interconnected, all those webs of connections. Here's the one that I found, which is similar to that. I think it's much more dynamic and alive than those simplistic starter images. Wouldn't it be fascinating if we divided ourselves up in smaller groups and we started putting names and connections to all of the lines and the symbols that are up there? This is that person that connects to this group, that goes to this, that gives energy to this, that in turn brings a blessing this way. It goes in all directions. And if we put all of our names and our groupings and our ministries into this, I think it would be indeed iconic. It would be a representation of what might be in God's mind. I had to think of our youth group as an example of a mini spiritual house. We heard a report back in July of what a fantastic experience they had on an MCC swap assignment in Kentucky. So you have service trips and the worship that had happened the previous year at convention and a baptism that we saw on the screen in the pre-service slides. And all of the times they blessed us by coming together and getting to know each other and building community as they practice being a youth group and then share a singing group and then sharing it with us. All the learning that happens in Sunday school, and then if you would add in all of the elements of adult sponsorship and mentoring and the other interactions that have happened in friendship, it's all like a spiritual house. Now, if you'd left out any of them, maybe one, maybe two, maybe four, maybe five, somehow the life would go out of it, and the life that would go out of it is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is meant that we are to be built into a spiritual house. Which brings me then to confess, and this confession is as I conclude. I confess to an error that I made earlier. When I was planning for today, my thinking was initially misdirected because I was worried. I thought, oh, what a full Sunday. We're going to have offering your gifts, and we're going to have communion, and then we're going to have all the other stuff and so forth. And my error was that I saw these as choices, which were mutually exclusive, as if they were isolated and segregated from each other, as if they were either or. And so what my mind was worrying about was this service is full. It is too full. But then I came to my senses. And instead, I would like to offer you a different word that came to my mind when I was imagining us as a spiritual house. When I think of the service this morning as an icon depicting the Mennonite Church of Normal as a spiritual house. Praise, children's story, sharing, gifts, ministries, guests, the larger church, communion. This service isn't full. It is complete. It is complete. And that's the way I think we need to think of ourselves always, as a part of a completeness. Not choosing, I like this, but I don't like this. I do this, but I don't do this. There's suction that comes from our society that would move us in this direction of what's in it for me. Individualism. Just in what's in my selfish best interest. I think instead we need to look at this morning, this partial icon, but nevertheless an icon that says, look what God is doing in our midst and how we are being built into a spiritual house of God. There is blessing in offering our gifts and sharing and prayer and singing and communion and offering money and fellowship. And to absent ourselves, brothers and sisters, for whatever reason, from any part of this, is to miss the mark. We've lost our way if we lose this. Peter said it right. And with this I conclude. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. May this construction and reconstruction and restoration project of God continue here in our midst and throughout the world. Amen.